All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 259 of your favourite Formula One show. Yes, Jamie and I return this time out to preview the Singapore Grand Prix. Of course, if you're new, first of all, make sure you drop a sub, drop us a follow, all that good stuff. We did hit 1k, but you know, we've got to try and keep the ball rolling. But Jamie, first of all, how are we doing, sir?
Doing well, yes. It feels like it's been a while since we did a podcast, but Singapore is here. It also might rain, certainly over the practice sessions. That could be fun in Singapore. It's going to rain an awful lot in Manchester today, so that's not so fun for me. But there we go.
No, we are. I think we've got a storm coming through this afternoon, yes. Don't we? So that is going to be very enjoyable. So if you are in the UK, this is officially your early podcast weather warning. I guess we're going to start doing that now. Stay safe and don't go outside. No, yeah, we can do knowing meteorology. That'd be incredible. Imagine that every morning. We just do like a 5-minute weather show.
Just doing the weather. That would be amazing.
Yeah, there's some rain up in Scotland. No one cares about that. It's fine. It's only Scotland. Sorry,
we only
to all
the weather of... in the localised regions that we live in.
Manchester and the Cotswolds.
There must be a niche there.
I'm sure there would be. I mean, that's probably just, I assume, well-off people that work in Manchester.
Well... yeah.
There we go. Sorted.
There we go. Sort it out.
But of course, yeah, if you missed out on last week... Well, we did two podcasts last week, didn't we, Jamie? We did, obviously, like the normal one, a recap in the Azerbaijan Grand Prix. And then we also did a bit of a hypothetical one, didn't we? Talking about kind of what's going on at Mercedes or what might be going on at Mercedes. So, yeah, go back, watch that one if you didn't, because it was quite interesting. But we have got quite a lot to talk about. Now, this week, we're recording on a Friday... I messaged Jamie, like I normally do, at 10:30 on a Wednesday night, saying, are you around tomorrow? I then immediately fell asleep, and luckily I woke up to a WhatsApp from you in the morning, or a text saying, no, we're doing it on Friday instead. So, thank you, Jamie, because it means we didn't miss some important news.
And we did also agree Friday last time we recorded, so I don't know.
I don't remember that.
Messed it up. Probably. It was in my calendar for Friday, so...
Oh, probably.
I couldn't have done it yesterday, but... yeah, thankfully, doing it on Friday means we haven't actually missed a bit of good news for once. Or good as in something to talk about, anyway. Depends on your perspective, of course. But Alex Dunn, the Formula 2 driver, McLaren Jr., done a few Friday practice sessions
done
with McLaren this year. Fantastic. And he has left his post at McLaren Driver Academy. And the talk of the town is that he's going across to Red Bull. And we talk... quite a lot around Red Bull Driver Academy because they go through drivers like no tomorrow. And actually, we were saying, other than Arvid Lindblad, who looks nailed on for the seat in 26, they haven't really got a next in line at the moment. So it's probably quite a good news for Red Bull, and they've done quite well to get him, because I do think Alex Dunn is a quality driver. I think his F2 campaign's been pretty unlucky in a lot of ways. He's been one of the more impressive drivers, if you can judge... based on all the other stuff that's going on in F2. And yeah, so they've got him, bad looks, and he probably will be in a V-carb in 2027 because he's going to do another season in F2 first.
I don't know about this, because I can understand that at the moment, the one place you do not want to be a junior driver is probably McLaren, because let's be fair, they've got two young drivers that they seem quite happy with, although I do always think, you know, if McLaren kick on strong next year as well... one of them will probably leave at some... not next year, but probably will leave before their contracts expire. Just because two drivers like that in a front-running team, unless there's a clear number one, number two, which there isn't, they don't last, do they? I mean, we saw it with Hamilton and Rosberg. Obviously, on the other side, we saw obviously how well they can work, Bottas and Hamilton.
Bottas isn't a top-level driver, though.
No, but that's my point. If you haven't got a clear one and two, they don't last. But my point was obviously that Bottas stayed at Mercedes because he was the clear number two.
Even though he thought he wasn't, yeah.
Well,
The McLaren drivers, Norris Piastri, I think the reason it might work is because the team do have such a collar hold on them in terms of they are working really well together. As kind of wet as it is from the outside in terms of all this papaya rules nonsense, from a team's perspective, they are very good employees.
Yeah, but that's all well and good until one of them's not happy about it anymore.
Exactly. I think if... So this is hypothetical. Say Piastri wins this year. Then we go half.
When Piastri wins this year.
And Piastri is, again, a bunch of points ahead of Norris. I think if it gets to the stage where Piastri just has Norris at an arm's length, I think Norris would depart. Similarly, if Norris did that to Piastri, I think the same thing. I don't think that's as likely, though. If they keep trading blows and going back and forth, I think it's more likely they stay for longer.
Yeah. I think... It kind of depends on how competitive McLaren are, because what then stops, say, is it hypothetical, because again, this has been talked about recently, you know, Ferrari are the dominant force next year. Come on, Ferrari, please. I can't believe
Charles
I'm saying
Leclerc
that.
Wins every race.
I was actually going to say, of course, is, you know, say Ferrari are now the team to beat during this next generation, and obviously Hamilton retires, and Ferrari want an Oscar Piastri, for example, something like that. Not entirely sure why. Or say, for example, Ferrari struggle next year, because obviously there's all these talks as well that Leclerc could leave. That I think that the thing is as well, isn't it, in Formula 1, is it's so important to remember that no matter what contracts say, contracts are never worth the paper they're written on in Formula 1. I know they are, but it's never like an absolute.
You're never locked
there
in,
are
locked
always
in.
So many clauses and things that saying these two people will be here until this point is largely irrelevant.
Yeah, if a driver wants to leave, he can leave. A bit like, well, Nico Rosberg did it in 16, didn't he? He had a contract until the end of 18 and was like, nah, I'm off, mate. See you later.
Yep. Did not
and
care.
Actually, it turns out he wasn't off because he just turned up to the paddock every race anyway.
Exactly, yeah. He wants to spend more time with his family by just still following the F1 circus around.
Just not training as much.
Just not training, yeah. I want to still be in Formula 1, but I want to eat chicken nuggets. That was probably
his rationale, really.
The Rosberg mentality, we love it. We love it. I mean, going back to the important bit, though, Alex Dunn, like you said, I still feel like I can understand wanting to leave McLaren or the McLaren Young Driver Program, because obviously, I mean, we saw Gabriel Bortoleto do that last year, and of course, obviously, he's now made it to Formula One. I still feel like it's a bit weird for Dunn to do this if he hasn't got a seat lined up for next year. Whether this kind of opens up the door, because obviously, like you said, it could be Red Bull for 2027. Dare I say it could be Alpine sooner than that, potentially? Not saying necessarily for the start of next year, but...
I don't see it, personally.
It's so bizarre, isn't it? Because no one wants to be at Red Bull, because obviously it seems like a tainted seat, apart from maybe the start of next year, where it looks like Hadjar's going to get that. But then nobody wants to be at Alpine full stop, despite the fact, as we've talked about before, they might well have a competitive car next year with Mercedes engines.
Exactly. I think the thing is for Alex Dunn is if you're not going to get a seat for 26, you almost might as well have stuck a plus one in your contract.
Yeah.
For 26. Yeah. And then leave your options open for 2027.
It seems now like an odd sidestep.
Now he's going to be in the Red Bull program. There's almost no way he drives anything but a V-Cup in 27. Whereas if he hedges his bets and sticks at McLaren, you know, a McLaren seat may open up, an Alpine seat. You know, McLaren are the sort of team where if there's no seat available for them, they will let you go somewhere else, as we saw with Bortoleto. So maybe, obviously, the Red Bull is more of a promise of a seat probably in 27, whereas McLaren is more like, we'll do all we can to get a seat in 27, which is a big swing if your dream is to get to Formula 1. So... Yeah, I mean, do like Alex Dunn. I think he's quick.
Yeah.
And he's
very. I think the exciting. Other big thing as well, though, of course, with this is, and let's be fair, we don't talk about Formula 2 much on this podcast for one reason and one reason only, and that's Mechachrome. What stops Dunn now? Is, say, for example, he becomes a Red Bull Junior next year, and say, for example, they've got two or three other Red Bull Juniors. what stops then suddenly him getting a terrible engine next year, being the second best rival? Like, say, for example, Oli Goethe beats him over the course of the campaign, whether that's due to Mechachrome or anything else, and then suddenly he's kind of not even next in line. And you've gone from McLaren knowing, obviously having you as a known quantity, Formula One obviously doing all that testing, to suddenly you're not even at the top of Red Bull's list anymore.
I guess the... Yeah, he's going to stick with the team he's at for next year in F2, I'd imagine. And he didn't get Mechachrome too badly this year. To be honest, most of the issue for Dunn is that he keeps getting crashed into.
He's had a couple of times he's been crashed into. He's also crashed into a couple of people as well.
Yes, he's not innocent in that. But yeah, I think it's going to be a bit of a Behrman Antonelli situation from last F2 season, where the hype is already there from a Red Bull perspective. It doesn't really matter where they finish.
Yeah.
Obviously, as soon as Behrman drove that Ferrari in Saudi, you knew that he was going to be on the grid.
Yeah.
Regardless how he did. And yeah, say Oli Goethe did beat Alex Dunn next year, I don't think it would make a difference. I think Dunn would still be ahead.
Yeah. I think it's just that weird thing, isn't it, of how much mentality and stuff like that can suddenly transfer in Formula, in junior Formula generally, isn't it? It feels like one moment you're the next big thing. I mean, look at Théo Pourchaire, for example. One moment you're the next big thing, a couple of years later, you've never driven a Formula One car in a Grand Prix capacity. That's just how quickly it can change.
Yeah, and Felipe Drugovich as well is now off to Formula E, isn't he?
It is wild just how quickly things can kind of move around. Of course, that does lead, though, doesn't it, into all this talk about Liam Lawson versus Yuki Tsunoda for that second Red Bull seat. I mean, again, we spoke about this last week, didn't we? I don't get why an Alpine isn't just trying to... Whether they're waiting for, like, Tsunoda to be out of contract or something so they don't have to pay off Red Bull for him or something like that. If I was Alpine, I would either be... I'd be going for Leo Fornaroli personally, but I'm going to put my personal...
bias aside.
Interest aside, yeah. Tsunoda is a better bet than Colapinto or Doohan or Aaron is at the moment, surely.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I also
agree. And Gasly get on.
The reason they're not doing it is to save money, realistically, because they know that one of Lawson or Tsunoda won't be driving that V-carb next year.
Yeah.
And you might as well wait until they're out of contract and then you pick them up on the cheap. So, yeah, I still do think that's going to happen. I think more likely to be Tsunoda, but whichever of those drivers isn't in the V-carb next to Arvid Lindblad will be driving for Alpine.
And who do you think will be in the V-carb then, next to Arvid Lindblad?
Liam Lawson.
You reckon it's going to be Liam Lawson, do you?
Yeah. I like Liam Lawson a lot.
I can't see Tsunoda going back.
I
still think Lawson needs to look outside of Red Bull. I think this is the problem that too many... Yeah, because I think the problem is, of course, as well, obviously, Red Bull do a very good job of keeping their drivers penned in, obviously, up through the junior Formula 1. They do well fund their juniors and things like that, you know, and get them to Formula 1. But then it kind of feels like once you get to Formula 1 that you're kind of still there going, oh, well, I need to get the Red Bull seat. And as we've seen, for nearly, the better part of a decade now, it's not the way to go. I mean, you kind of look at the drivers that were able to get out of Red Bull in recent times. Carlos Sainz has gone on, obviously, to have a very successful career. Do we think, is there a world in which he isn't on the F1 grid anymore if he'd stayed with, the Red Bull family? And, you kind of say, well, that seems impossible. But then you look at, obviously, Perez. Pierre Gasly, obviously, has been able to completely rebuild his career as well.
Albon had a year out.
But now he's, doing better than Carlos Sainz. It's really, really kind of, if you're... there's just not enough seats, is there? This is the problem.
Well, we're about to add two more to be taken up by pensioners, so...
But yeah, we're about to add two more just from people that were here last year.
Yeah, it is quite an exciting time for V-Cup, though, because it feels like they're going back to their roots a little bit with their 27 lineup is probably going to be Dunn and Lindblad, who are both born beyond, 2005, I think, which is a bit disgusting. but, yeah, I do think that will be the case for 27. Yeah, I think Lawson and Tsunoda can both have decent careers. I mean, Tsunoda already has had a decent career, realistically. I don't see Lawson ever making it back to Red Bull after those disastrous...
No, I don't think he ever will. That's why it's so pointless to stay there, be looking. Yeah. I'm sure he is in talks elsewhere. But
yeah, yeah. And I almost think if the opportunity came to go to Alpine before they make their decision on Tsunoda or Lawson, Lawson arguably should just jump for it. A bit like what, do you remember when Kevin Magnussen was done at Renault and was just annoyed in 2016 and then just chose to go to Haas before they made the mind up?
Yeah. Yeah.
Could be something like that.
Yeah, no, it is. It is one of those things, isn't it? And it's kind of that bizarre thing, isn't it, where you look at the driver market and go, "Well, there's next to nothing to be decided," and actually, there is still quite a lot that can obviously still be changed around. Let's talk about some other bits and pieces, then, Jamie. I mean, should we talk about all the off-track stuff, and then we'll head on track, obviously, for this weekend? Christian Horner, we mentioned then that there's 11 teams, obviously, as of next year. Could we be in for a 12th sooner than we ever realised?
I mean, that's what the talk is. That all the kind of media in Formula One, I was going to use a term.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Didn't use that. But it's all talking about Christian Horner, which is not ideal since he's no longer even in the sport, but we still have to keep talking about him. He obviously wants somewhere to go. It's well known that he's now able to work again come the start of next year. And he's looking for work. Put it on LinkedIn. And yeah, it looks like every team, for various reasons, doesn't want him, which you can understand why. But there are a few options for him, because basically, obviously, he's been at Red Bull for ages.
20 years. 21 years, near enough.
All in all, he did do a good job, let's be fair.
I don't think you could ever argue that, drivers' championships and seven constructors isn't doing a good job.
When they were a startup, he came in when they launched. So, yeah, he did do a very good job as team principal. What he wants, supposedly, is something like what Adrian Newey has at Aston Martin, where you're now a shareholder. So what Toto Wolff has at Mercedes as well. Most of the teams don't operate like that. So if you're going in, you would be team principal, because that's just how they are set up. There's an owner. You don't have shareholders.
Especially with Red Bull being a private company, it's even more difficult.
Yeah. Especially the likes of Ferrari, they would never go on the share market.
Oh, yeah, or but you'd never...
Actually, no, they are on the share market, aren't they? But you would never get a majority stake.
No, Ferrari are a public company, a publicly traded company, but you can't... Like, no one would ever dare try to challenge to buy in a share of their Formula One team and be team principal. It's just not how Ferrari would operate.
No, exactly. And yeah, the likes of Haas are single-owned. I think Sauber are single-owned. Williams as well.
Royals.
So, yeah, I just don't think any of those teams make sense. The one that does, arguably, is Aston Martin, because obviously they were able to give Adrian Newey a stake in the team. I think that's kind of what Horner wants, but their issue is Adrian Newey left Red Bull because of Horner, because he wasn't happy with the treatment. And if I was Lawrence Stroll, I'd rather have Newey than Horner, personally.
Exactly. And I think that it's kind of that thing, isn't it? Because I'm sure there's probably a bit for Christian Horner as well, where he probably feels a bit put out that he did all this work with Red Bull for so long, and everybody goes, well, actually, most of the success was thanks to having Adrian Newey at the team. I think the big problem for Horner, though, wasn't it, of course, is he wants total team control. He wants, you know, this is where kind of this relationship broke down with the Red Bull, wasn't it? Obviously, especially with the powertrains coming in, that he wants to be in charge of everything. And as we're starting to see more and more in Formula One, because there is so many big, important components, that it can't necessarily work. Especially, you know, it's all right when your team's doing well, but as we saw, you know, this time around, as soon as that starts to crack, questions get raised.
You're quite replaceable, unless you own the team.
Yeah.
I do think if Toto Wolff wasn't an owner of Mercedes, he probably wouldn't have lasted 22 to 24.
That's a very interesting debate. I also don't think, though, Toto... Because, you know, Toto Wolff comes from an investing and banking background. Yes. If he knew he was diving his own stock price too much, he would leave.
Yeah, true.
And I don't know if you saw calculated. As well, slightly off topic, but I think McLaren, Mercedes and Red Bull all released their operating profits from last year. And this was genuinely fascinating to
read.
Did
they all make profit as our resident banker?
Yes, they all made profit. So Mercedes, I think they had a total operating spend, I'm probably getting the terminology slightly wrong here, of I think it was about 650 million, made 120 million in profit, which is very good going.
Wow, that's very
McLaren
good.
Was about 580 million, of course, probably lesser because of the engines and things like that, but made, I think it was 54 million in profit.
Still pretty good.
Red Bull had an operating cost of 520 million, 1 million in profit.
Well, they spent 20 million of it to pay off for it, didn't they?
Well, more than that, and obviously catering costs a lot of money. My point is, of course, clearly still to a lot of the outside world, Red Bull is not the team you want to invest in. And I'm sure probably a lot of that comes from all the controversy that was going on around the team.
And sporting-wise, they're on a downward trend, or certainly they were at the start of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting stuff. But the upshot is Horner might have to start his own team and find 300 million from somewhere. So,
more than that, you need a lot more. You're looking at, I would have thought, to start a Formula One team now, including the money you have to give them for the dilution, you're probably looking at close to 1.5 billion, I would have thought.
Yeah. So he's going to have to find some very wealthy friends, you'd imagine.
He's got some very wealthy friends. He's got Bernie Eccleston and Flavio Briatore.
Yeah, Flavio's not going to quit Alpine, is he?
I think he would.
Well,
so
he has four times already, actually. Hasn't
I was going to say, yeah, why do you... Yeah, there's one thing Flavio Briatore does. That's quit Alpine. So Bernie Eccleston, just for reference, is worth $2.4 billion, roughly,
he's
US
also,
dollars.
What, 96 or something?
94.
Crazy. And he just had a kid about 5 years ago.
Yeah, that is staggering. Flavio Briatore... Oh, so he was worth $150 million in 2008.
Oh, lovely. That's the last figures we've got, is it?
I'm sure. Let's have a look. Racing News 365. He's currently worth about 400 million, apparently.
Yeah. So Bernie could, if he wants another go at it, he's been out of Formula One for what?
And he'll have links as well still, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Bring back the old band. Get Ken Tyrrell in.
I think Ken Tyrrell's been dead for
Ken
while.
Tyrrell's dead. Yes.
I'm pretty certain Ken Tyrrell's been dead for a long time. Because wasn't there a big conspiracy about Ken Tyrrell? Or was that Colin Chapman? I feel like it was either Colin Chapman. So Ken Tyrrell died in 2001. So I think it might have been Colin Chapman. There was a big conspiracy.
He's been dead a while
him.
As well, hasn't he?
Well, he died when Lotus was in a load of debt. But apparently he might have fled to, like, South America because his wife would never fly to any Grand Prix and then just randomly flew to South America not long after he died. So there's always been a conspiracy that apparently he lived out his years in South America just obviously to escape the absolutely insurmountable amount of debt that Lotus had picked up. That could be on our next iceberg.
That could be on the next iceberg. I've not heard of that one before. So there we go. We'll try and make contact with the Chapman family and get one of them on.
Fair enough. I'm sure that'll work out well.
But yes, if Christian Horner wants to get back into Formula One, back to our main news headline, he's going to have to start his own team, which could be done, but it wouldn't be for 2028.
No, I mean, this would take a few years of groundwork before you could really do anything serious. The other option was he was apparently in talks with Haas, which, to be fair, Gene Haas always seems willing to sell up part of the shop. Could that be the way to go? By, say, 33% or 50%?
I personally don't see it.
There's got to be a reason, though, that he negotiated less money to be able to come back into the sport soon. You wouldn't do that on a hunch.
No, he did have talk. I saw in the race that he had talks for Team Principle of Haas. Because, he has negotiated early payout, which probably cost him a little bit in the grand scheme of things.
That would have cost him a fair chunk of money, I would have thought.
But obviously, when you're getting 20 mil anyway, it doesn't massively matter.
And the figure is a lot more than that. It's worth upwards of $100 billion overall.
What is?
Christian Horner's leaving.
Really? But he's not getting paid that much.
It's over 5 years.
No, it's $100 billion.
No, 100 million, sorry.
Okay, you said billion, exactly.
Sorry. Like, well, 100 billion, money. That'd be Red Bull bankrupt a long
time
ago.
Yeah, that'd be like the whole country bankrupt. Anyway, yes, we will see. To be honest, I don't miss him. I don't think Red Bull miss him very much. They've already
I don't think anybody
two
misses
races.
Him. I'm sure the only person that misses him on the TV is Jerry Halliwell, and that just means he's stuck at home with her.
Yeah, potentially.
Which I'm not sure who's worse off from that, to be honest, but there we are.
We will digress.
I bet she makes him go down the garden centre every weekend just to look at the same stuff over and over. She just strikes me as that kind of
man
of
in
thing.
A relationship.
I don't think I've been to a garden centre this year, and I wear that like a badge of honour.
I used to work for a garden centre.
Did you? I did not know this. You used to work for a garden centre.
This is my Saturday job when I was 16. Yeah.
Ah, I bet you were great. I bet if anybody asks you something, you go, oh, I just need to speak to my manager about it.
I had no idea what I was talking about.
Off.
Yeah. The most of the job was carrying big plants to old people's cars and that kind of thing.
Oh, so. I'm sure muscle man Jamie 183 at 16.
Don't you worry.
Sure that went fantastically.
Did. Oh, man. It did.
Brilliant.
Let's move on.
I love some Jamie 183 lore.
Yeah, someone can make a great spreadsheet of all the random facts that I've dropped in this show.
It'll be you.
It isn't me, thankfully. I don't watch these back. Max Verstappen. Let's talk about him. His September was simply ridiculous. All considered. Because, he did Zandvoort in Formula 1, came second. He did Monza, won. He did Baku and won. He then got his Nordschleife license quite easily. And then won at the Nordschleife and GT3s with a co-driver. So, and turned 28. So he's finished.
And turned 28.
big achievement, that, just staying alive for another year. Is he back? Is he going to win every race between now and the end of the season?
No.
Correct. He's not. He's not going to win Singapore. No chance. But if he does, I will start believing.
If he wins Singapore this weekend, then I think it's absolutely fair to start believing. But surely at some point... I think the most fascinating bit about this is there's a part of me that wants to see him win like the next two or three races. So McLaren are then hopefully put in a scenario where they have to focus on one driver.
Well, it would be very interesting. The McLarens can't stop talking about Max Verstappen in the media pen this weekend. So it is interesting because the whole of the year has been focused on this Norris versus Piastri. And all of a sudden, they don't seem to really care about each other. And they're only talking about Max Verstappen, despite Piastri still, 70 points clear?
Yeah, just under, isn't it, I think.
Which, with 8 races to go, is very high. that's a lot of points to make up.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah, I think it would be extremely interesting to see the McLarens fighting each other while under pressure from behind.
Or in front on the track.
Or in front, yeah. And I think it would be fascinating. I think it would be a great storyline for the end of the season if Verstappen can somehow wrestle his way back in there. I think he'd be kicking himself for just driving into George Russell for no reason in Spain.
That was what I was going to ask. Like, do we think if he loses the championship by like 8 points or something, will Barcelona be the thing we all look back on?
Well, you can point a lot more than that, but that's the one that was in his control.
Exactly. Exactly.
He would be.
I think as well, of course, obviously we've got 3 sprints coming up as well. Obviously, in those final 6 Grand Prix, the final stretch of the year is quite brutal. There's a lot of travel involved, everything like that. But you just think, surely, that, you know, Baku and Monza are two, not the same tracks, but they're fairly similar in the fact it's long straights with slow speed, sharp corners. Singapore is a very, very different venue. It's never one that Max has gone particularly well at. It's one that Red Bull have always struggled with through the Grand Effect era as well, especially, obviously, on the newer layout. In many ways, I think McLaren are kind of hoping that this weekend will kind of be, you know, if we bag a 1-2, Max finishes, even if it's a distant third, something like that, then it's sensibly over. I think, honestly, one of the only people in Red Bull that doesn't believe Max has got a realistic shot is Max Verstappen. But, of course, he'll just do what he always does and tries to maximise the result he can anyway. Yeah. But I think if he can win this weekend, then real questions can start to be asked. But at the moment, you're looking at two tracks that are very similar, the suit of the car, helped by the fact that McLaren had an absolute stinker in Baku as well. Obviously, especially Oscar.
Lando arguably came out that weekend looking worse. Which I don't still... think. Yeah.
Yeah,
I personally think Oscar drops an absolute stinker, like terrible. But Norris finishing seventh should an awful lot better in that race.
But nobody could really do a lot either.
Well, he could have qualified better. Like
he could have qualified better, but as we discussed as well, of course, he was the first one around there. He did almost bin it as well, so he was a good job that he actually got the lap.
But I look at the calendar, to be fair, to Verstappen. After Singapore, COTA and Mexico are tracks that Red Bull generally do quite well on.
They sucked at Mexico last year.
They did, but that, like, the car was in the mud last year. I think the car is more competitive now than it was this time last year, to be honest. Brazil, Verstappen's always done very well at, and it's low downforce.
Brazil's not particularly low downforce. Brazil's middle downforce.
I guess, but Verstappen has always done quite well at Brazil.
Vegas will be the big one, because that on paper should be a track McLaren struggle at, because of tyre temps.
But reasonably, with Vegas is the third last round, it could be over by then for Verstappen. So,
sensibly,
because if the gap stays as it is now, I think, the gap has to go up by 10 points or so? Between now and Vegas for it to be
before
over.
Vegas. Yeah. No, it would need to be about 15, but yeah.
Yeah.
He'd have to head into Vegas less than 83 back.
Yeah. Yeah, which could easily happen.
It'd probably either be wrapped up in Vegas or Qatar Sprint, he'll get eliminated, something like that, I would have thought.
Yeah. And when you say wrapped up, you mean Verstappen will be eliminated.
I just mean Verstappen's mathematically out of it. I think there's a possibility that this could still go down to Abu Dhabi. It wouldn't surprise me if we ended up in a scenario where Max gets eliminated in the sprint in Qatar, and then one of the McLarens wraps it up in the race.
Well, it won't be Norris from this far back, will it?
Well, you say that. All it takes is a couple of wins and Oscar having a couple more stinkers.
Absolutely. Is he going to have another one?
I don't know. Unlikely. But you could still... You say that. Lando could... If we're talking about Max potentially being in the championship fight, to then say, it's impossible that Lando could wrap it up early,
I think Max winning the championship is more likely than Norris winning it in Qatar, personally.
Fair enough. Okay. I'm not quite sure how the numbers work there, but there we are.
No.
McLaren, we'll though, on the other hand, should win the Constructors this weekend. But we said they that should. Last weekend.
Yes. If they don't, it'll be hilarious, and we believe in the Verstappen Championship.
Fair enough. Jamie, it's going to be an interesting race, we reckon.
I hope so, yeah.
There's a heat hazard warning, because Singapore is getting warm.
Well, it always has been warm, realistically. They've just invented a new rule to let us know it's going to be warm this time. That's basically all that is. This rule came in after
Qatar 23, yeah.
Which was... absolutely horrific for all the drivers.
Who would have thought having to do all these races in the Middle East suddenly leads to a problem with heat issues? Crazy. Yeah.
And especially when you do the tyre rule at Qatar that year and they're basically doing 52 qualifying laps. That was incredibly clever. And so since then, because the drivers had a horrible time, they have invented a cooling vest to keep the drivers cool. And hopefully that'll make a difference. But it's only optional. So you can either, this is the interesting bit, you can wear this cooling vest, which is 500 grams, which isn't that much, realistically, but it all makes a difference in Formula 1. As we know, Nico Rosberg would have shaved his eyebrows off.
Would have shaved his eyebrows off, yeah.
For 20 grams.
20? He hasn't got Nigel Mansell's eyebrows. 20 grams?
Well, maybe 2 grams. You can either wear the cooling vest and keep yourself cool during the race, which I think most drivers probably will do.
Sensibly.
Or you can not wear the vest and add 500 grams of ballast to the car. And I think the engineers will be having an absolute field day imagining where 500 grams of ballast can make your car better. So I wonder if there'll be... I mean, it's almost certainly going to be Red Bull, isn't it, who forces Tsunoda to not wear his vest.
Yeah,
so that probably. They can put 500 grams of ballast on the rear wing.
And then wonder why he crashes due to heat stroke or something on lap 30.
Yeah.
There's a Mark Webber from Fuji.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if it'll make much difference.
I can't see it making much. I mean, all it'll do is obviously the drivers that are slightly more fitness prone might have a small advantage. But then I think that would be everywhere.
Well, Ollie Bearman is already saying that he's nervous. I saw in the media, Ben, because Baku and Monza are not particularly hard on you physically.
No.
Whereas Singapore absolutely is. And yeah, I think it's the equivalent of like sitting, like doing a workout in a sauna for two hours.
Yeah.
And sitting in a sauna for 2 hours without doing a workout is basically impossible for the normal person. So the fact they're also driving a Formula One car at 180 miles an hour is pretty good going.
No, anyone that says Formula One drivers aren't athletes know nothing about Formula One. I will always argue that. That's what I was going to say. One driver I know, if they were still on the grid, wouldn't take the cooling vest. Marcus Ericsson.
Oh, yeah.
He famously never took a drink in the car.
He didn't have a drinks bottle. Yeah.
He never had a drinks bottle throughout his entire time in Formula One. And a couple of the races he did it, obviously Singapore, he would lose like 4 or 5 kilos. And he was like, I just don't want one.
Well, he's Swedish, isn't he? He's probably used to it.
He just lives in a sauna.
Yeah.
Indy 500 winner, let's not forget. Did he not score a point in Singapore? Yeah.
He came 11th one year into 18.
Fair enough.
Which I saw on Sky Sports the other day, which I don't know why they showed that on Sky Sports because it's rubbish.
I watched part of the 2023 Grand Prix, and then last 212, my partner asked me what I was doing, and I tried to claim I didn't know what happened in this race. But it was just fun to see the Red Bulls struggling.
Well, still beat Lewis Hamilton.
No, they didn't.
23?
Yeah.
Oh, that was 24 I'm thinking of. Sorry.
I was going to say, yeah.
No, I'm thinking 22 even. Which is the one where at the end Max and Lewis are right next to each other for like 8th?
I think that was 22. Yeah, because it was when it rained, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because obviously 23 Hamilton got the best podium of his career.
I don't remember anything about 2022.
George stacked it on the last
Russell
lap.
Crushed Shaft on the last lap. Of course. How could I forget?
How could you forget? I mean, it brings us nicely into our quiz, though, Jamie. I'm going to segue this rather quickly. Because obviously Singapore, up until 1965, was part of what other country?
Oh, you're testing my history here.
I am.
Was it? I don't want to get this wrong. it's near Malaysia. I don't think it was Malaysia.
It was in fact China? Malaysia. I'm going to say China.
Well, China used to be massive, and then everyone started...
China still is massive. It's never
over
Singapore, as far as I'm aware.
It used to be bigger.
Fair enough.
Okay, it was Malaysia.
It was Malaysia. You have got to go in reverse chronological order. you've got to name me every winner of the Malaysian Grand Prix.
Okay.
This one I feel like you should be able to do quite well.
I mean, it starts in an era that I actually know about, which is famous last words. 17 was the last race there.
It was.
And that was... won by Verstappen.
It was.
His second ever Grand Prix win. 16 was Ricciardo.
Correct.
After Hamilton's engine blew up, we laugh. 15 was Sebastian Vettel.
Correct. His
and
first Ferrari one for
Ferrari. Was
yep.
born.
People really did believe Ferrari were on.
Maurizio Rivabene says Ferrari is back, and then they, win two
hey,
more races.
Hey, to be fair to Seb... arguably one of his best ever seasons. Almost beat Rosberg overall.
Yeah. I mean, Rosberg had incredibly bad luck that year.
And was 14, just mediocre.
14 was Lewis Hamilton.
Correct.
Was that his first win of the season? Or was it China before Malaysia that year? I can't remember. 13 was Malky 21. That was Sebastian Vettel.
It was.
2012, Alonso won from Perez.
Yep,
in
that great battle right towards the end. I wonder if Perez in that moment realised how long he'd have to wait
for a
first F1 victory.
Well, I was going to say same as Hülkenberg in Brazil, but he hasn't got a victory yet.
Exactly, yeah, he's still waiting.
2011 was Vettel.
Correct.
Heidfeld was on the podium, last ever podium for Nick Heidfeld. 2010 was Vettel.
Correct.
That was a guess. It was Vettel or Webber. I think it was... Webber got pole, I think, and Vettel overtook him.
Multi-21 set.
Well, not that time. 2009, Jensen, my friend.
It was. Obviously, the race that was shortened.
Again, Nick Heidfeld on the podium. Shout out.
Yep. Nick Heidfeld, many, many podiums.
08. Oof. Why is that difficult? So Hamilton won Australia, which is round one. And then I think it was a Ferrari. This might be wrong. This could well easily be wrong. Round two. I'm going to say Kimi Raikkonen.
Correct.
I knew Raikkonen won 2 out of 4 in 08. And I thought it was Spain and one other, but I couldn't remember. I'm happy with that one. Okay, 07 was Fernando Alonso.
Correct.
06. '06 was Fisichella, wasn't it?
Correct.
Go on, Fizzy. Let's go. 05. I'm happy with this.
You're doing very well. I thought this might be a good. There's been quite. I was looking back through it. I was like, there's quite a lot of iconic wins from Malaysia. It's had a lot of memorable races.
It has. It should be back on the calendar, really.
It should.
Didn't it start in '98?
'99.
I might get there.
You might get there. I'm sure by saying that now, you're going to mess up.
Yeah. 05. Fernando Alonso.
Correct.
04. Michael Schumacher.
Correct.
03. Schumacher.
Incorrect.
Oh.
As soon as you started. And I'm disappointed you didn't get this one, Jamie, because it wasn't David Coulthard, okay. No. This was, again, another very iconic moment in Formula One. If I say a few simple words to you, Ron Dennis is crying.
Was it Raikkonen's first win?
It was Kimi Raikkonen's first ever Formula One victory.
Oh, I could have maybe got
you
that.
You should have got that. I think if you'd not get ahead of yourself, you would have been
02
absolutely fine.
Was then Schumacher. So it was...
No, 02.
Oh. Well, the problem is, I get to the early 2000s and just think Schumacher won everything.
Yeah. I mean, technically, it was a Schumacher, which completely gives it away.
I would have said Schumacher, and you would have had to correct me right then.
I would have had to go, which one? And then you would have gone, well, it must be Ralph.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm happy with that. I like that.
You did very well. You did very well. It was a great race, to be fair. And, I mean, there are talks that it could come back.
There are. In the future. MotoGP race there, don't they?
MotoGP still race there. It is a great venue. Of course, shout outs to, I was going to say Valentino Rossi then, but it's not. It's Marc Marquez, who arguably one of the greatest comebacks we've ever seen in motorsport. Other than Niki Lauda, of course. Predictions, Jamie. Last bit we need to do. What are the scores on the doors?
Scores are 55 to me and 43 to you. It's not looking
good. I'm not having fun.
You go first. Rattle it off.
McLaren have got to be back, haven't they? Surely this weekend. I'm going to say... Trying to think.
Really? It's 1 and 2. Just toss it up.
I know. I'm just trying to think through previous races and stuff. I'm going to say Lando, Oscar, Max.
You are boring.
Yes, I am. I need the points.
I was going to probably say the same thing, realistically. I will say Charles Leclerc.
Okay.
Oscar to win.
Okay.
From Norris and Leclerc.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. Ferrari going to do something this weekend.
Look fastest in practice, qualify 12th and 16th, and then spend the rest of the night.
Leclerc will be on pole. Hamilton will be 15th.
Probably.
Yeah. He'll get a 3-place grid penalty for ignoring red flags or something.
Wonderful. I look forward to it. Thank you all, as always, so much for listening. If you have enjoyed, please do make sure to leave a like, get yourself subscribed, drop us a follow on all the other good platforms as well, if you're watching this on YouTube. Jamie and I will be back Monday, Jamie?
Yes.
You going to be around? Wonderful. We'll be back Monday then, obviously, to review the Singapore Grand Prix. I think this one has the potential this weekend to be crazy, but it is Singapore, so it probably won't.